Yo, okay, so yo, this is episode 11 of the Fill in the Blank Interlude podcast with your host, Naoto Wakabayashi, and I actually have a special guest, guys, a special motherfucking guest. So, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, it's Brittany. My last name is Kopech, Brittany Kopech altogether. How's it going?
You already know. Yo, yeah, no, my audience only hears my voice, like, most of the time. Yeah. So I'm always interested in that. Like, I actually saw the analytics to my podcast, and, like, it said that most of my listeners are from Vietnam.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and then second's Canada. And I'm like, how?
That's,
like,
what the hell? That's crazy. So you're getting, like, international reach. That's wild.
So shouts out to all of my Vietnamese, like, listeners, viewership coming soon. So, you know, Brittany, would you like to introduce yourself and everything? Like,
yeah, totally.
What do you do?
So I'm a graphic designer. Yeah. And that's, I mean, at this day and age, like, that's kind of an umbrella term because there's just so much to graphic design. But I do, at my day job, I do package design, social media, copywriting, digital media strategy, all that fun digital stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because I've been doing it for so long, it's almost like second nature to me. So besides that, like, I do like freelancing as well. And with the freelancing, it's like more of a creative outlet. Because I can, like, throw my own flair. It's, like, nothing against, like, working for a company or, like, a corporate situation. Like, whatever they need for their brand is, like, whatever you have to do. It's just a job. But you almost can't get that, like, you can't get, like, that creative interference in your job because, like, then you start to take it personally when, like, they don't like your shit.
And then, yeah.
You know?
God, that's the thing. Like, for me, I mean, I just work at a regular corporate job and I don't give a fuck about the work. But then I figured, once I get into a thing where I have to, like, start managing artists and, like, start putting my own, like, equity behind, like, this one project or this one thing, and then you get execs or, like, people on the team being like, no, that's whack. Like, get that out of here. Like, you having to, like, not take that personally and as an attack against yourself, like, that's where I'm just like, I might struggle with that. Like, yeah. I might have some trouble with that, but I'm sure you get used to it, right?
Totally. Like, yeah. No, it's like, yeah. it's a huge learning curve. And, like, it's funny, like, going into the real world of, like, actual, like, being in a job for graphic design, you almost, you start to realize that, like, a lot of what you need to learn in order to succeed and, like, get better at what you do is learned in your job, on the field, and just not actually in school. Because, like,
100%.
I can't even recall things, like, actual memories of things that I used day to day in my job that I've learned in school.
Right.
It's almost like they teach you, like, the fundamentals, and then they just throw you in the deep water.
Right.
Damn. Yeah, it's
that's
wild, right?
With graphical, like, graphic design. Like, I thought that maybe school would, like, prepare you more so than any other fields. Like, for example, like, economics, you barely learn shit, and then they're just like, yeah, like, I left my econ degree being like, I don't really know anything about economics, and I feel like, yeah, like, I barely just scratched the surface, but
yeah.
I felt like with graphic design, you'd probably get more, I always assumed that it was, like, more in-depth, like, the education.
Well, I think also, like, it's just, there's just so much to learn.
100%.
That they only, like, exactly, like, they scratch the surface on, like, what you should actually know to, like, be capable of doing your own thing eventually. What I was going to go back to saying is that, like, one thing that I do appreciate so much that we always did and, like, got on top of in school was learning not to take things personally when someone didn't like your work.
Right.
Because it's like business. It's basically business, you know? Yeah. And, like, they really got you ready for that because every single week of my second year, because it's only a two-year program at the university I went to, but every fucking week, can I swear on here?
Yeah, you can swear on this. This is an explicit podcast. This is 100% explicit. Yeah,
because I am explicit sometimes.
Yeah,
okay,
no,
cool.
That's fine. You could say fuck, shit, like, whatever swear word you want to say.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah, so,
okay, so every week we had something called a tear apart critique. okay. where we would okay. post like a work up on the wall with everyone yeah. else's, and then the university teacher would go one by one and just destroy your work. Just be like, what? Like, she would circle things and just like, she's like, why is this here? Like, what does this mean? The spacing's not right here. And she would just like make you feel like shit. And like, of yeah. course you would feel like shit when you're first starting. Yeah. Like, when I graduated my program, I just turned 21. Right. So I was like pretty young.
Yeah.
So getting that kind of feedback when you're like barely 20, it's just like so devastating, because like you're also trying to like become an adult, right?
Yeah.
So any kind of personal attack is just going to like destroy you on the inside.
Holy.
Yeah. So like, yeah. it was brutal at first. And yeah. like it was just like such a big learning curve, but after a yeah. while you just kind of become thick skinned. But then like, she wouldn't just like throw like insults at you. She would just be like, "Oh, this is." She would be like, "This is like you should be doing it better this way because this way yeah. makes sense." And like yeah. obviously, like because it was like such a like condensed program, like mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh my god, she hates my work." Like that's like what I thought for like the longest time. But over time, I was like, "Okay, she actually is like making sense, because like this in right. like a design sense, like this right. does like my work doesn't look that great." And, uh-huh. and then like she would like go in and like correct it. I'm like, "Okay, I'm like better understanding that it's not just like she's not attacking me personally.
Right.
She's attacking like my work, but in a way that yeah. isn't, you know what I mean? It's like I'm getting lost in my conversation.
I mean, no. I get what you're coming from.
Yeah.
And to, I guess, like, would you say though that like that kind of teaching was effective?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's very raw.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they're not sugarcoating it.
Which like you absolutely, like once you leave school and like once you have, if you had professors or like teachers that like sugarcoated everything and like kind of gave it to you really easily, then you might like have a hard time.
Oh, absolutely.
After taking criticism and stuff. But then would you say that helped you take criticism better and everything?
It's funny because like now, like yeah. at this day and age, yeah. like I'm so good with like criticism of my work, and like yeah. as a personal thing too, like in my, like as I am as a person, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. taking criticism is like definitely gotten easier in the last like year or so. But right. when right. like before that, like I was so bad at taking criticism for myself, like right. for me personally.
Right.
I just like, I don't know, I was very insulted by everything. And like I had people in my life that would like poke fun at me, and like I wasn't good at that because of just, I think it's just my personality type. Like,
oh, okay,
you know,
yeah.
have you ever heard of like the five love languages? Like how you receive love?
Actually, yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay.
But like could you explain it? I'm not too sure. I've heard of it like
yeah.
on a surface level, but yeah.
So like I can't, because like usually two people have yeah. Like there's like obviously five, mm-hmm. But like usually two people have like two that they identify how they receive love. And it doesn't have to be like in a romantic way. It could be like
right.
friendship
yeah.
or like family and
yeah.
stuff. And like one of mine is like words of affirmation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when I had people in my life that would just like kind of like knock me down in a way, but as like a funny thing,
yeah.
it would just like, it would like hurt me, you know?
Okay.
But like, I know that they were just like poking yeah. fun at me, but yeah. like it would like deep down, I'm just like, damn, like words hurt.
You take it personally.
I do.
Right?
Yeah. yeah. And yeah. like, that's just like, I think that's just like part of my nature. Cause I'm just uh-huh. like so extremely empathetic uh-huh. in general.
Yeah, 100%.
That's just me.
So it's kind of like, yo, why are you even saying that? Right.
Exactly. Like, yeah. It's just
okay.
like, why, like if you didn't mean it, why would you say that to me in the first place?
Yeah.
Even if it was just
okay.
like making fun, like, oh, just teasing, you know, like that's not teasing to me. Like that, like, actually hurts my soul.
Because then you're just like, because then you're just like, oh, this, like you said, like you kind of like search for that meaning. You're just like, oh, like there must be some truth in this.
Exactly.
Right? So then
that's like when people like, say like, oh, yeah. no offense, but
no offense, like, but they say the most offensive shit.
Because they're just like, oh, if I say yeah. this as like yeah. a clarification, yeah. like, oh, like, haha. But at the same time, you're like, damn, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, that's why I never try to like do that as well. I mean, I'm like big on roasting, like with me and my friends. Like,
yeah.
Well, it depends on who. Depends on who, really. Like, I do have like certain friends that I do roast and others I don't. It's all about context. But for
very
me.
True.
Yeah, like for me, it's kind of like, I think that's like how I coped with, teasing growing up.
Yeah.
Is basically making fun of other people.
Gotcha.
So essentially I did sort of adopt a bit of a bully mentality growing up, which was like not okay at all. Like kind of what I realized, but what I realized, like the underlying thing of that and
yeah.
like the underlying, meaning behind, or I guess the reasoning why I started like making fun of my friends when they'd say something mean back. It's because I was trying to cope with like what they were saying. No, so I would just like lash out.
That totally makes sense. Right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
like,
no, kids are mean, man. Oh, kids are mean.
Kids are so mean.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But I mean, in that kind of sense, cause like I've been bullied when I was younger too. Right. And I don't know if it's because I was so quiet or I just like, I was like that always a quiet art student, like all through elementary school, middle school, high school, even into university. Cause like I did fine arts in my first year. And like, I still like had that like weird title that I carried through like all of my like schooling as like the weird art kid, and I could just never get out of that weird bubble.
You know what's crazy is that those kids have grown up now, and then now when they see you on the street, they'll be like, whoa, that's cool what you're doing, or they'll go to like they'll like admire your craft. Like it's crazy how like the tables like flip in that way, like especially because I think growing up, like, well, I wasn't really, like, a music kid, but, like, I was super big on, like, doing something, like, having a career in something that you were passionate in, but then, like, a lot of people didn't really understand that, especially in high school, middle school, but then right after, they're always like, whoa, that's, like, a really cool thing, like, I wish I could do that,
right.
And maybe, like, they pick on you, because, like, deep down, they're just, like, insecure with themselves.
True. Actually, yeah, that's very true.
So, yeah, I mean, sometimes, yeah, it's kind of weird, like, what, I guess, like, what people do. Also, excuse my dog. She is being so aggressive right now. I don't think you guys can hear her, but she is a very, very clear.
She's, like, bellowing. Like, she's just, like,
I just locked her in a room. All right, no, like, okay, I'm not abusing her. I'm gonna let her out, like, after we stop recording. No, because she was, like, barking for treats. Like, she always does that, and it's super annoying.
Aw.
Yeah, she's just hungry all the time. She likes her food. So, tell me, so, like, earlier we were talking about, like, how you do your own recordings at home, your own voice recordings at home. So, could you, like, tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, I'll backtrack to even when I first started doing this, because it was, it's, like, so random how it even started.
Yeah.
So, because, like, I got to do, like, my own film production, directing for the company I work for, and it was like a little Instagram story, and it was so fun. Like, I'm so happy they gave me that opportunity. Like, I love video editing and videography, and like that's always been like a low key passion of mine, like all through like growing up. But I had to do a voiceover of like certain artists that we were covering for the video, because it was about like International Women's Day and like women in music, and we got to pick out certain artists, female artists that like represented like how like they kind of like paved the way for women in the industry,
right?
Because it's very, very male dominant,
100%.
Right? There's a stat that came out.
Actually, I think I forgot. I think it was like Music Business Online, where it was like talking about the splits, and like male executives get paid 50% more than like female ones. And I think
such a wage gap, like, still.
It's 100%. So the industry is going towards a direction where more women are getting hired, but it's still not equal. Like, even if you look across like all the labels, I think the splits are like tend to be like 53% guys, 47% women.
Mm-hmm.
But the wage gap is like it's crazy.
It's so fucked up.
It's fucking insane.
It's 2019, people.
100%. And you know what? I say this all the time. Like, honestly, like, women are smarter than guys. Like, it is.
Facts.
Like, I'm not even saying that because you're here. Like, I always say.
Oh, yeah.
I always say this like with my male friends as well. Because like, even going through university and stuff and seeing the top performers in my class, consistently women.
Mm-hmm.
The people, like, the majority of the people that got into university, consistently women. The most reasonable people in the room, consistently women. Like, I mean, I'm not saying all women are, like, reasonable as well. Like, I'm just saying that more of them are.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that needs to be recognized. And no, fuck, like, no, it's not affirmative action, like, that I'm, like, speaking on. I'm not saying this because of, like, the inequality. This is something that I've, like, actually observed. Like, it's I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous.
No,
it's still
yeah.
happening.
It's absolutely
in
ridiculous.
2019.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how much longer is going to take for the world to be equal for both men and women? Like, it just blows my mind.
Do you know what's crazy? Is that, like, the people there on the other side, they're just like, oh, man, like guys, like, people are getting hired because of their race or their gender because of affirmative action. I'm just like, nah, man, it's just correcting itself. Like, it's
yeah.
not because there's like a checklist, like a quota of like, we're going to hire like 7 women today. We're going to hire like 10 Asian people today. Like, no, it's not like that. It's just kind of hiring HR people that don't have the traditional biases
mm-hmm.
of the past. And then like, sure, they could be biased one way, but I think it's like more, I think it's more fair in the overall grand scheme of things, instead of hiring like an HR person with like a, or like having management that prefers like the white male.
Yeah. Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No, it's crazy out here. So what were we talking
oh,
about?
Oh yeah. Okay.
This?
So voice recordings.
Yeah.
Yeah
voice
okay.
recordings. Yeah.
All right.
I was like, wait, why are we talking about affirmative action?
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
So this whole voice recording thing started from the video I was doing and the narration for International Women's Day, Women in Music. So, yeah, okay, so very, very weird. I ended up having to, like, obviously narrate the video myself, yeah. and I would have, like, these, like, little sentences. And, like, every artist I covered, I think we covered 3 or 4, and
right.
they had to fit in the time frame of, like the slides that were
right.
going. So I had to talk at a speed and... have the information actually be like
yeah.
relevant and
yeah.
make sense in
yeah.
those like 2 sentences while keeping it under 10 seconds per artist.
Yeah.
So
Ooh.
Yeah, it was difficult. Like
yeah,
there's actually so many elements that went into that video, and like I'm so uh-huh. I'm still so proud of myself that I actually like
pulled it off.
Yeah.
yeah.
Damn. But yeah, so okay. I honestly like I still don't even know how I made the connection, but like I was recording myself and like listening to myself talk, and like I was like, cause like I would like film this, like, sorry, not film. I would like record me saying the sentence, and
right.
then I would just like leave it running, and then just like, and just like think like, oh, did that sound good? Or like, was it the right speed? And
yeah.
then I'd like say it again, and then like do it again. Just like, and then just like cut it up for the video.
Right.
Right. But then I would like go back and listen to it. I'm just like, what if I was just to like talk out loud my thoughts?
Yeah.
And instead of like writing it down as like a diary, like a written diary, it was
yeah.
going to be a verbal diary instead.
Yeah.
And it was like, it just took off in my brain. Like I would like go home after work, and if I had something on my mind, instead of just like keeping it in your head
mm-hmm.
and like letting it just fester and like just eat you alive, because like
yeah.
I'm so bad for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like internalize and like bottle things out,
right,
and it's just like
right.
the most awful habit I've like carried through my whole childhood,
yeah,
and
yeah.
like whenever something was bothering me, especially because like I'm like naturally an introvert, so like
right,
I like
right.
to like just like keep all my problems inside, and I don't like to expel it
right,
just so like, because I don't want to like burden anybody with my problems, but
yeah.
in return I love listening to people's problems and I love helping people.
Okay,
you know, but
yeah.
like I don't take those people's problems and like fester it in my head, like
yeah.
I just help them, like
yeah.
I don't like I, yeah I don't feel guilty or anything for like helping them or you know, but anyways,
sure.
So It was weird. Like, so I started like being vocal about like the issues going on in my head, and then
yeah.
like actually like expelling them out, but like not having anyone else hear them, and just
yeah.
like almost having like it come out of your mouth and then like you listening to it again. It like totally sounds different than having it just like in your head.
Yes.
It's
100%.
It's really, really cool. And then like you
yeah.
go back. So like, let's say you like let it out. It's almost like verbal vomit in a way,
yeah.
because like
yeah.
you don't even think about you're talking.
Yeah.
You just kind of let it out, and like,
yeah.
like you, like some things that you just don't want to tell people, because
you,
like you don't want to be like afraid of judgment.
Judgment, yeah.
Because like
sure,
that's a big
sure.
one for me. Like I think that's
yeah.
maybe why I don't like telling people my problems sometimes. I'm just like so afraid of like judgment.
Right.
Which is like
right.
something else I've kind of like I'm starting to get over as I'm getting older. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird, because like there's some things that like I have like kept suppressed
uh-huh.
from like past relationships or
right.
like something that someone said to me, and all
right.
of a sudden like I just turned into like this weird feedback loop of hell in my head,
right.
and then it just like escalated into something so much bigger than it ever was to begin
yeah.
with,
yeah.
and then like when you just like say it out loud, and then you like wait a couple days,
yeah.
and then you listen to it again, you're like, what the fuck? You're like, Why is that bothering me? That is just such a small problem that has nothing to do with me or that person that, like, once had that involved with. It's just, like, my brain just, like, created this, like, tumor of, like, a problem.
No, absolutely. That's, right? Like, that's, like, yeah, because, like, once you kind of let that, like, marinate in your head, it's just going to start multiplying.
Yeah.
It's going to get way bigger than it actually is.
Totally.
Like, because when I was younger, I used to, like, internalize things a lot. And, like, I, like, that was, like, a big problem for me. Like, in kindergarten, dead ass, like, the teacher thought I had ADD because I didn't talk or something, like, during class. Or she, yeah, no, she was, like, actually told my parents that I should go see a doctor. I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I mean, no, it's wild. Like, she thought I was ADD because, like, I would daydream a lot. Like, I would just be in my own head. And, like, that's something that, like, I kept doing maybe until I was, like, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And to kind of, like, cope with that, I think that's, like, when I flipped into, like, trying to be extroverted and,
right,
like, just kind of releasing it. And, like, and not necessarily... And that's the thing. Like, I started to tell people, like, my problems. Not excessively,
yeah,
but then...
Like, people you trusted and,
people
like,
I
friends.
Trusted.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, like, what I got into a bad habit of doing is that I tell, like, people that I didn't know, like, personal shit.
Oh.
I mean, it wasn't, like, bad. It was just, like, yo, that's embarrassing. Why would you tell that, to say that to me? I'm just, like... I was, like, huh, I wonder why. But, like, because clearly after I did it the first time, like, it was... I just kept doing it again and again, and then... What I kind of realized is that by telling, just like saying it, I essentially just stripped it of all its power.
Yes, yeah, that's the most important thing.
And then, yeah, like there are obviously other and better ways to do that
other
than just like telling a stranger, hey, like
this
like fucked up thing happened last weekend. It's like, yo, what the fuck? And, I mean, it makes for like a good... I mean, I think it livens up the party atmosphere a little bit, but great party topic. No, but yeah, no, that's how I dealt with it. And I think like, these like voice notes that you do like make for yourself are essentially kind of letting them out, also stripping them of their power and also helping you like understand the trauma and like to then properly like heal from it
definitely
afterwards. Mm-hmm. Right, like that's the thing. That's like what's like most important, right? Like when once you start like, let's say you went out with somebody and then it went like really like something bad happened, what's easy to do is to like hold on to that and then have that affect like later relationships and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
But like, I don't know, every situation is different, right? So then it's like not good to do that.
Yeah.
Because then you're just bringing that unnecessary drama into this new situation.
Oh yeah. And like, and it's just like, it's so unfair when you go into a new relationship and you have problems. Like you have like this extra baggage that you're carrying from someone else that like that poor, like that person that now you're interested in and you're going out with all the time. Like, they're dealing with this shit and like they're dealing with your responses and ways that you cope with things are like the ways that like you've picked up from other like situations of relationships and then you're like putting it on them and then that's causing more problems.
100%.
So you know, like it's such an important and crucial thing to like really understand if you do have baggage, I think.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people just don't know. Like it's because like it's just their day-to-day lives and they
it's hard to tell friends that.
Yeah.
That, like, are still trying to deal with it, but then haven't properly processed it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I have certain friends that get into new situations, and they're like, yo, my, like, boyfriend cheated on me, so this is why I'm, like, doing this, or whatever, and then I'm just like, that's kind of unfair to the other guy, and I want to be like, that's, like, you haven't dealt with that trauma yet.
Like, but are you even ready for a new relationship?
Exactly. I can't say that, though. I'm just, like, I try to be as supportive as possible. But then it's kind of, like, that's difficult. Because then they won't, I don't know. How do you find yourself in those situations? Like, when somebody, comes up to you for, like, relationship advice and they're basically carrying over their previous traumas into the new situation.
Well,
what would you say?
I think it would. It also all depends on like how close I am with that person. Like, let's say if it was like one of my best friends or like someone I was like really close with, or like family. Like, I'm extremely close to my sisters. Yeah. Shout out to Beck and Em. Like, if you're listening
to
this,
shouts out.
But yeah, like if like someone who I'm really close with comes to me for advice, like I'm not gonna like. It's like just like that personal, like taking criticism personally. Like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat that shit. Like, if I know that person well enough, and I know who they were before their like the whole thing happened with like a past relationship or even like a friendship or something.
Right.
I'm just like, yo, like this is not you. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, just like take a step back for a second and just like realize that you're just being so neurotic with whatever you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And like usually they're just like, oh. Fuck, like, you're speaking some truth here.
Do you ever, like, cross that line with your sisters? Because I find that I cross that line all the time with my brother.
Well, yeah.
Well, not all the time, but, like, sometimes. Where it's just like, yo, why would you say that? I'm like, yo, no one else is going to be this real with you right now.
No, like, seriously. Like, and, my family is, like, extremely close. Like, I would die for any of them. Like, they're just, like... Yeah. We're just such a close family in general, because like we've been through some shit, and like of course all families go through shit, but it's just the way that you recover from it, like, and then that 100%. You like you just like make that bond even stronger. So we're it's funny because like me and my sisters are, it's like it's not even like a sister friendship. It's like a bromance, but it's like sisters, because like we're just like we're just such guys around each other. It's just so weird. Like, if we were to introduce like a new friend or like someone we're seeing like into my family, it's like you got to get through some levels if you want to be on my family's page. Like, you got to be accepted by every single family member, and like first impressions are everything. But
100%.
Going back to like the bromance thing, like my like we're kind of like my youngest sister like pushes me around. Okay, she's like what? 6 inches taller than me, and she'll just like push you into a wall, or she'll like punch you, and like I'm like, what the fuck? Like, well, we'll just like I'll be like talking to my other sister, or like talking to my mom when I go visit them, and my sister will just like run up to us and just like punch us in like the shoulder. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh my god, hold on, I'm gonna decline this. Sorry. Jesus.
Yeah,
damn,
no, it's like hilarious, but we just joke around all the time, and like it's like you just know that. If you're like around us, you can just feel that energy where we are just like so close, and like our humor's all the same too. We'll just like we'll just like one person will do something that might seem so stupid to the outside world, but then like they'll do it, and then like I'll start just hysterically laughing, and then like my laughter will cause someone else to laugh, and then like all of us are just like crying laughing over something so stupid, but it's just like it's amazing.
Oh, that's so damn. That's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh man, my like me and my brother's relationship like. We joke, but our way of joking with each other is, like, not that healthy.
Oh, no, really?
We just insult each other. Like, that's also the other thing. But, like, that's a thing with, like, most of the time we're fine. But, like, if we're, but you already know, like, family knows you're, like, how to tick you off the quickest.
Oh, my goodness, like, do they ever.
They're so efficient with that. Yeah. One sentence, and then you just, it's like. Because they know you so well, like they grew up with you like your whole life, like of course. But then everybody else, like they can try as hard as possible. Not like for me, it's not like whatever. But with siblings, when they say something, it like puts you in like a boiling rage because you're just like, "Yo, you okay?" And like, yeah, no. Once they learn that, it's game over.
I like okay. Yeah. Is your family like really like are they savage? Like, will they tell you something if like something's like bothering them about you, or they're just like, hey, like I noticed this, like snap the fuck out of it or whatever, like or they like your brother insults you, but like does is your family like that too? Like your mom and your dad?
Like
stuff?
My dad is not like that.
Okay,
I don't know why. I try to encourage him to be like that. I'm like, yeah, like honestly, if like whatever I'm doing is trash, I want you to say that.
Yeah.
And like what's weird is like my mom, she used to really be like that in like elementary school and like middle school.
Oh.
But then okay, not in a, like a mean way.
Okay.
Not like in that, like not like she's like actively trying to put me down.
Okay.
But like she was definitely like more critical then. Mm-hmm. Instead of like after like high school and like beyond that. I have no idea why. I don't know why she's chilled out so hard. But then I always encourage people to just be like, if you think something like whatever I'm doing is off or whatever, like just say it.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. At the end of the day, it's going to help me. But with that being said, it's not like I'll listen to everything, but just say it.
Well, yeah, know? I mean, like there's something that I've definitely learned in the last, I'd say, year and a half or so, is just, like, take people's advice with a grain of salt. I mean, like, 100%. it's really good to hear other people's opinions, and I value that so much. Like, I'm a really, really good listener.
Right.
So it's, like, I guess, like, that's another thing, too, is that I'm using these listening abilities and just, like, getting better at talking because I actually, like, take the time to listen to someone talk and then, like, be able to ask some questions in order to get, like...
And, like, go from there.
Yeah. And, like, it's so crucial.
No, 100%. And, like,
it's, like, 100%. It's so crazy how many people are horrible listeners.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, it's so bad. Like,
God, one, what was the saying? One, in one ear and out the other. Like,
a lot of people.
A ton of people.
And I think that's like why I've always had like a really close group of friends. Like, because like I consider myself like introverted, by nature. But over the past couple years, I've been more on the extroverted side, just because like I crave social interaction now. Like, not when I was like younger. Oh my God, I just loved being in isolation, just like at my like drawing or listening to music and stuff. But like, definitely over the past couple years, like I've started to like want to network more and just like put myself out there, because like whenever like, because like my close group of friends are so amazing, because like I have selected, like I've been graced and like with this like amazing selection of people that like are so good at listening, and like they give me advice and they just like take the time to like reach out to me if I haven't talked to them in a while, or just like they just remember little things about me. I'm just like, oh my God, like that's amazing. Like, I can't live without any of you guys.
No, you absolutely do need that support system, right? And to kind of, ooh, my dad's home. intermission. Each side of the microphone.
Right.
Anyways, so back to our conversation.
Yes.
About people being terrible listeners. Yeah. No, I find that like people try to not like, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but people just try to not dig deep when like they're having conversations. Like, what's the point of even talking?
That baffles me.
Right? Like,
I don't understand.
How could you live like that?
I can't comprehend people that do that, because I think maybe that's why I have just like an amazing small group of friends. Yeah. It's because like I can go on that level with each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And I don't honestly, like, I can't recall a friendship that I've kept that like we don't know a lot about each other, or like we can't have those like deep philosophical like existential conversations about like life and like weird shit and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but maybe that's why like a lot of people I've just like branched off. I'm just like, I can't like relate. You're not on my level.
Right. 100%. Because that's like something that I had to learn for sure, because for me, like when I kind of switched over from being an introvert, well, actually, no. You know what? Everybody tells me I'm, like, extroverted, but then I'm like, no, I feel like I'm really introverted for some reason. But then, no, I think, no, I guess I've probably always been extroverted. But anyways, to go off with that, like, what I'm trying to say is that oftentimes, like, I love to be around other people and having other people's companies and everything, and, like, being around people in general, where I'd kind of get myself into shitty friendship situations, like very boring, not like motivating. Like, I don't, like you said, like friendships that with people that are just not on your level. That's draining when you have to like kind of go down to like their level and like kind of, it's like, what's the point? Yeah. What's the point? Life is too short for that at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So, fuck that.
And I also think that, like, those kinds of friendships are, like, more on the shallow side 100%. And, like, superficial.
Yep.
Yeah. And maybe that's probably another reason why, too. Like, I hate superficial people. Like, right. I don't like using the word hate. How about strongly dislike? I strongly dislike, like, very superficial people who are, like, shallow, or, like, people who are, like, way too judgmental for their own good.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't relate. Because I hate, I just like, I can't, I'm not judgmental. I'm like so far beyond judgmental. Like, I'm just very accepting.
Yeah.
But
No, I mean, yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yeah, but there is a line. Like, the, if you're being an asshole to me or you're trying to manipulate me because, okay, low-key, I see the best in people. Like,
right.
from the beginning.
Right.
I'm not that kind of person that's just like, oh, they're way too nice for their own good. Or just like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't know. But
yeah.
I think that's another reason why that guys can sometimes think that comes off weird because I'm just so friendly. And
okay.
like, so I've had some times where like, someone's like, oh, this person like really likes you. I'm like, why? Like, I've shown no signs of like trying to flirt
of,
with
like,
them
actual,
or
like flirtation, yeah. like attempts. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah. and then they're just like, oh, well, you're like really nice to them all the time. Like, that's just a nice thing to do.
That's yeah. No, aren't you supposed to do that?
Yeah,
like,
no,
that's God.
And it happens to me so frequently. And I'm just like, no, I just want friends. I'm not like seeking for attention.
That has happened to me too many times as well, especially being in like whenever I'm in a relationship, I'm just like nice to people anyways.
Yeah.
And then especially girls, I'm just like nice with them as well. And then they think I'm flirting. It's just like, nah, I got a girl. Like, I just want friends. Like, I like
yes.
having
diverse.
like female friends. Like, I think as well as guy friends
of
as
course.
Well.
Yeah.
But I like for me, I would say like most of my friends are female. 100%. Like, but I like having that because it's like guys and girls do think differently.
Totally.
And, you know, I think it's important to just have both sides at the end of the day.
It's like, me being like a girl, I think it's very important let's say there's like a guy that I would be interested in or whatever. And like, I think it's extremely important to see if he can actually hold down female relationships, like female friendships.
Right.
Cause like, you're not just like seeing a girl as like an objective to date. Like, you can actually be friends with them too.
Uh-huh.
You're not just like going after one thing. And I think that's so important. Like going both ways. Like, I know some girls that just they just don't have guy friends.
Yeah.
But they do have good reasons because sometimes, sometimes guys just, like, don't, they want to be friends, and then they just, like, don't actually want to be friends, and they, like, kind of, like, manipulate you, thinking, like, oh, no, it's okay, like, I'm not going to do anything, and then, like, they just, like, pull a move on you.
Like, and it's like, yo, fuck out of here. Like, yo, where'd that come from?
So,
fuck out of here. No, there are, like, yeah, guys out there that are like that, which they're wild for that. I mean, yeah, no, it's, I mean, I can't. Because I've done both where it's like, I don't know
bomb.
How you
but wait, what? It's a truth bomb.
Truth bomb. No, I do, but like, it's weird. Like, it's very hard. Like, that's something that like my ex has had a problem with for sure. Like, me having like girlfriends. Cause then they're just like, oh, but you've hooked up with like your like, girlfriends before, like your friend girls.
Yeah.
Your friend girls before, that's an issue. And then, but then sometimes I've like hook up with a friend girl for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then we just happen to be really good friends after that and nothing happens. And like, there's nothing, like not even a spark or like anything that happens beyond that point. But none of my exes have understood that at all. Which I understand. I get that 100%. But
yeah, I think like, I think some girls are just like really jaded. And like cynical because like they've just been like almost fucked over so many times by guys and like they don't have any trust in them anymore. I'm like, you know what? You're totally like, if you think like that way, then like it's fine. Like, sometimes it's like there's just no way of like changing their minds about it. I'm just like,
not at all.
It sucks, but sometimes it happens.
What can you do?
Yeah.
And that's a thing. Like, that's what I really learned in the past year is that sometimes you can't save people.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just the way they are and like, even if you're like, look, no, there's like another way that you can go about with this. Sometimes it's just, they're just past the point of no return. And then at that point, you just, for me, I've just learned to like kind of cut my losses and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I did with like my last ex, which was like kind of insane. I just wasn't fucking with it one day. And then without explanation, well, like I kind of explained it, but then I was like, no, I'm done. I'm good. Like we didn't. Yeah, I don't know. It was bad. It was really bad. Like, I was in a hot spring in Japan, and then I was like, yeah, I don't really want to do this relationship anymore. And then I just texted her.
It's okay. We live and learn.
We live and we learn.
But so, you know what? Yeah. You know what? At least you're like self-aware, knowing that like that was kind of a shitty thing to do.
Oh, 100%. You know, no, like, I'll never do that.
Again. Oh, yeah, like yeah, I mean, like yeah. I mean, everyone's yeah. kind of, everyone's young and dumb yeah. at one point. Like I've definitely done some stupid things,
and we're gonna keep making mistakes. That's the thing.
Yeah,
it's inevitable.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
You're just gonna learn from it.
Yeah, no, because the only other option is for us to be in this, to just be in like this, like glass room, and then we can't hurt ourselves in it and just never go outside.
No, because like then yeah. like you're not taking risk.
Yeah.
But what was I gonna say? Oh, so going back to like the whole relationship thing and like you hooking up with like friends, like people that like girls that you're friends with or whatever, yeah. and like having your exes come back and be like, oh well, that's an issue. Like if you have enough trust in the person that you're dating, then there should be no reason why that anything is an issue. Like whoever's, 100%. You know, like past is past
yeah.
and you can't go back on your past. And yeah. when people look back on someone's past, or like, let's say some people get fired up about like head counts, like girls versus guys. And mm-hmm. if like girls have like a higher head count and like guys have higher head counts or whatever, like people are going to call that girl a slut because she slept yeah. with a lot of people. Like yeah. it's like, those people are toxic. Like you shouldn't be talking to people that think that that's an issue or 100%, anything or anything yeah. to do with your past. Like
yeah.
It's just such a horrible way of thinking.
Yeah.
And yeah. like, and then like, that's why I was saying, like, if you're in a relationship and people yeah. are like being like, oh, like that's an issue for me. I'm like, boy, bye. Like,
please.
You do not please. Belong in my life.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly.
just so insecure about someone's past. Like it's such
right?
bullshit.
It's like, God, I don't know. And it's, and again, like those kinds of people should not be in relationships.
Nope.
Because at the end of the day, they clearly haven't grown enough to properly trust and foster like a like trusting and loving connection with another human being.
Yeah.
Like, you should not, like, no, I don't give a fuck. Like, you should not be in that kind of situation.
No.
With anybody, because honestly, that just sucks for every party involved.
And you know
fuck
what?
That. Yeah.
And you know what? The reason why people like mm-hmm. like girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever, is coming up to that like a person and saying those kind of things mm-hmm. is because they have baggage that they haven't gotten over yet,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And also, yep. it all has to do with like security,
right?
And like security with yourself, and also being insecure in a relationship. And I think insecurity blossoms from like not having enough self-love, because like there should mm-hmm. be nobody in this world that can hurt you that badly mm-hmm. that you're gonna take it on with someone else, you
yes.
know? Like you should not, like if someone to hurt you, like you'd be like, okay, well obviously someone, whoever hurt you has issues and they're hurting you for whatever reason. Like
yeah.
it's never like the person's fault, you know? Yeah. So like for me especially, like so I that's like definitely something that I've been growing in the last year, is like a lot of self-love and like
right.
not be able to people, like not having someone else's actions hurt you personally.
Yeah.
Not taking it personally.
Yeah.
Yes. And it all yeah. goes, it all just like circles around in professional life, personal life. Like
yep.
it all has to do with self-love.
Yep. At the end of the motherfucking day.
It does.
Damn. Okay. Wow. That was like a really good conversation about like just growing as a human being. And
yeah.
like, again, like, shit. Well, I guess let's get on to the music portion.
Yes.
Of this,
oh my goodness.
Episode. So we went to we saw Sango last weekend. Not this weekend. This is the weekend right now. This will probably come out on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my birthday weekend. This
happy birthday, yo, Noto.
Thank you. Thank you, Brit. Yeah, just turned 24. So yeah, congratulations to me.
Oh my god. So like yeah. I texted yeah. you yesterday like happy yeah. birthday, and like I did you get the confetti in the text?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
I did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
that's why I said no, congratulations. I hope it showed up, cuz I look like such a weirdo.
Just, like, no, okay. So when I got the notification, I just saw the cuz I was like doing something else, and then I saw a notification drop down that just said congratulations with no like exclamation mark after it. And I'm like, are you being sarcastic right now? And then I clicked on it. And I was like, oh, okay. Like,
hey,
I.
Confetti.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's confetti. Like, it's fine. It's all good. yeah, no, I appreciate that. I do feel the love on my birthday and turning. This is my Kobe year, guys. Time to get 5 rings or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sports references. but yeah, no, we watched Sango last weekend.
Yep.
Amazing set.
Amazing. Like, probably the best set, hands down, I've ever seen at Fortune Sound Club.
Same. Same. Definitely. Like, yeah. I would put that in my number one for like sets I've seen at Fortune. Like, God. And the fact that it was like a late set as well. Like it went from like 1 till 2.
I think, or 12 to 1. It was pretty late.
It was a late set. And like, oh man, I love that. I love that. Like the fact that he was playing, International Players Anthem as well. Like, God, such good songs. Like,
okay. And like, honestly, like, okay. Like I've always loved Sango's music because it like, it integrates like his Portuguese background and with like really cool hip hop beats and like artists I've never even heard of. And then like, that just like branches off into different things. Yeah. But because his music is just like so niche, you know, because like, they're like, it's like bumping beats and like you can get down to it pretty easily. But like, I think the crowd had a lot to do with how great the performance was, like how great the atmosphere was. Yeah. It was amazing. Cause I don't know about you, but I mean, I was slightly intoxicated at that show. But
I was slightly as well. I brought a flask in of tequila.
Oh shit.
It was nasty. Yeah, no, I was drinking in the washroom, like a scumbag.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I remember you saying something about that. God. Okay, but, like, I don't know if you remember, but there was, like everyone was just on the same level. There wasn't, like, too much aggression. Mm-hmm. No, but people were, like really grooving, and, like, there was dance circles everywhere. Yeah. And I thought that was so fucking cool. Like, there was, like, I would I was in the back of the crowd, like, just dancing, and then, like, you, look to your left, and then there's just, like, more, like, there's, like, these two people just going at it, like, just dancing and shit, and there's, like a crowd forming, and then, like, and then, like, eventually, like, that would, turn into, like, the whole audience again, and then you, like, look over here, and there's another one breaking out, you're just, like, damn, like, everyone's just, like, having such a fun time.
Everybody's having an amazing time. Like, that's the thing. I only noticed like one, like maybe like three people that were visibly unhappy that it wasn't like a traditional Fortune set. I think they wanted Blueface to come on and like have Drake there. And they're like, I saw like these, like clearly they were probably in like first year or second year university. They're like, what is this? Like, let's go. And I was just like, what the fuck? Everybody's having a good time. Like, get out of the middle of the crowd. Like, leave. Right? Like, you do not deserve this. No, but like, I'm pretty sure like I looked over and they were saying like, he keeps like, why isn't he playing the original song? It's like, shut the fuck up.
Leave go. Right now.
Go.
Get out of Sango's presence. Exactly. You don't deserve to be here.
God. And like, yeah, no, he played, I forgot what his, like, because he had that Portuguese album, right? That
was like, Da Rosina? Because he has his Da Rosina 1, Da Rosina 2.
I think Da Rosina 2 was the more famous one, was the like, bigger one, where it had that, God. Like, one, like, fuck, I would like, beatbox and, like, do that, but, like, I don't want to, like, show off my mad skills that I clearly don't have.
I can probably think of the song that you're thinking of.
It has the keys, and then it's like, it has like the, his like vocal, like I think he does like a bit of beatboxing in there as well, like, and there's that like vocal sample in the background.
So
hearing that on those speakers, so amazing, so great, like, God, I definitely like want to every time he comes through, like, I'm definitely going to watch him. Like,
oh, 100%.
I'm definitely going to his sets. Like,
but the sad thing is that was, like, the first time he's appeared in Vancouver for, like, 3 years. I know. Oh! I know. Sorry to be a party pooper, but I know. Debbie Downer moment. But, no, for real, though. Like, that's why I was like, I have to see this fucking show. Like, it was a no-brainer.
Yo, because the first time we tried to go, this was in, like, February. And then it snowed. There's a snowstorm, and we're pre-gaming, we're so ready to leave.
We're doing a photo shoot at the same time.
We're doing a photo shoot
at
the same
time.
Shout out to Alexis. Shout out to Alexis, the god. There's a snowstorm, and, like, Sango just, like, he lives in Seattle, and he was like, yo, missing my flight. It's like, all right. Cool.
Oh, that was devastating, to be honest.
That was
like
crushing.
We were just about to leave. Like, everyone was just, like, all ready to go. And
got the Sango playing at the pre as well. They're just like, oh, we're excited to hear that song.
But then I don't know if it was Alexis or someone was, like, reading on their phone. They're just like, he canceled. We're like, what? Gasp. Everyone just gasps. It was brutal.
Gasps in disbelief.
Yeah.
Gasps in Spanish.
That was... I wonder what that would be.
Like... I don't know. I try to like hear it in my head. And I'm like,
me too. No. I'm like,
I try to make the sound, and I'm like, yeah, no, not,
no, just not happening. Yeah,
no, no, my brain just shut down for a second there. God damn.
But I mean, that night was actually kind of pretty fun. It was.
Yeah.
We got to do like the photo shoot at Fortune.
Fortune. Yeah. We got free entry.
Which was sick.
Yeah, which was awesome. Like,
damn. That was the first time we met.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was like instant friendship.
100%.
Right?
100%. And we didn't even like talk about music then.
No.
Like at all. And then like, I think like we started talking about music, like just like messaging each other. It's like, oh shit, like we like similar, like the similar kind of music, like that's dope, you know what I mean? So with that, are you listening to anything right now? What are you listening to?
It
doesn't have to be new.
Okay, yeah,
whatever, because you're like, listening to. Yeah,
because like as I was talking about earlier, I have like this really horrible problem of just like listening to the same tracks over and over again. But it's almost like I tried to explain this to one of my friends who like she isn't into like really really into music like I am, because like I almost thought I had like some sort of weird problem with music, because like it's just been something that I've had by my side like in my realm ever since I got my first like Walkman when I was like 8.
Yeah.
And ever since then I've had this weird emotional connection to music.
Yeah.
So that's why I almost think like videography and like scoring music for to like match with motion is something that I was just like born to do, because it just comes naturally to me. And like I like sometimes I'll just like have video like or just like visions of like videography in my head that I haven't even seen before, or like I'll just be on the SkyTrain, I'll be listening to a track, and then it'll just like spark something in my head, and I'll just like I'll feel like I'm in a movie.
Yeah.
And it's like it's almost being like on a drug, but I'm like it's like, and it gives me like goosebumps, like just like
the serotonin's in full effect.
Oh my, it's like it's just so crazy. Yeah. And there's just like, cause like the music library in my head is just enormous. And if I'm in a certain mood, like I'll just like think of a title of a song and I'll just play it. I'll like fast forward it to like a minute, 45 seconds just for that, like that 10 seconds. And I'll just like match it with like me walking down the street, and like, I'll just like, it just seems like my life's a motion picture. And like, I think it's just so weird. Like, I just love my brain. I love how it works.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually like pretty cool how like you kind of like match the audio visual aspect of just like, of, I guess like film and like music as well. Like that's so cool. Cause for me, it's just like, just music. Mm-hmm. Unless, well, actually, yeah, the only time where I'm just like, where the music is supplementing what's like sort of around me.
Yeah.
The gym.
Oh yeah.
And the gym and rest in peace Nipsey Hussle. The gym and what else? Party.
Right. Sure.
But that's it. But like that's actually so cool that like while you're listening to a song, you have this like music video playing in your head.
Yeah. It's like I always have that urge to like go out and like make something that's going to match with like the emotional attachment I have with this song. So it's almost like, oh, what are those like videos called? Like visual videos you see in like stores, or you know what? Like people like skydiving and stuff like that. And it's I can't remember what the fuck they're called, but it's like an aesthetic video kind of. But
have you ever thought about directing music videos?
Well, that's why, like, I want to take that opportunity with my work of creating that video for their company.
Yeah.
Cause like, it's just also working on a corporate level for like video editing.
Right.
But that's something I would absolutely love to do. Yeah. Like eventually, that'd be really, really cool.
When I like start, cause eventually I'll start managing. Hopefully I'll start, I will start managing / being an A&R. I would love to like bring you an artist and then see like if you feel inspired by it. And I think that'd be like a fun like project to work on potentially in the future.
Yeah, that'd be
down
sick.
The line. Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. But you know what? It's funny too, because I have these visions. Oh, okay. Another thing too, is that like, cause obviously I haven't like, well, it's not natural born, but like, I'm just really good at drawing because I've done it for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I think when I first moved out, on my own, I went, cause like I had to like go through all my shit in my parents' house, and I had over like 14, 15 sketchbooks filled to the brim with drawing of
that's
just like,
so cool.
Just shit, just random stuff. And yeah. like, I would just go back and like see mm-hmm. the progress that I've made mm-hmm. since I was like 13 and just like learning how to draw like anatomy and like, because yeah. I had like the, one of those wooden dolls right. where you could like play around with like their limbs and just like right. learn how to draw everything like to scale.
Just, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then I got it really into anime. Okay. yeah. I was like a huge anime and manga freak when I was younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I would like take like the characters or like the cartoons from like the comic books
mm-hmm.
and then the shows, and I would just draw till my hand bled like the characters. So what? that's
like legit till your hand bled.
Like I would have like those like calluses and like it yeah. would like break open yeah. from drawing so much. So you know like people yeah. who play guitar
yeah,
and
yeah,
they
yeah.
get calluses on the fingers. Yeah, I would get sure. it like here where the pencil sat.
Oh
like,
no, I did, yeah, I definitely feel it. Because like with weightlifting, like I have like a
oh, callus yeah. on my I have calluses too from like calluses, working out. Yeah.
But sometimes this has never happened to me. But if you're like deadlifting super heavy, you rip it.
Yuck.
And I'm not gonna lie, it's weird because like I kind of want to be like lifting that heavy one day, but then I'm just like,
ooh.
That's so much. That's like way too aggressive, but it's also rad at the same time. There's something very metal about it.
Yeah.
So you were drawing till your hands bled. Yeah, that's crazy. And, yeah.
Okay, so like you know when you've heard the saying before, like 10,000 hours and you're a master,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
Like I've definitely put in like my 10,000 hours in drawing because like now yeah. it's like come in handy when I'm doing these right. kind of like filming for work and stuff because right. they make like my creative lead mm-hmm. has taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. He's taught me a lot
mm-hmm.
at my job. And he's like, no matter what you do, when it comes to doing videography, you got to start with a storyboard. And the more detailed the storyboards are, the better of shots you're going to get. And the project that I had, the very first one for film, I didn't know anything about storyboarding. Like, I didn't know how to draw from different angles or, like, what tools to use to, like, show, like, okay, I want the camera to pan this way at this time and just, like, all that stuff. And, like, I just did YouTube yeah. tutorials on yeah. it. And I was, like, I would just go on Google Maps and, like, look up a location and, like, uh-huh. get the different angles. And, okay. like, I could just draw every fucking angle. Like shit just comes naturally to me. Like, I can just, like, I can draw whatever's, like, right in front of me to scale now. Like,
that angles, is insane.
Like the bottle, and I'd, like, take all the details in, like, the, I don't know.
Yeah. No, because I mean, some of my best friends were, like, artists, and what they had trouble with was, like, perspective,
mm.
and trying to get that to match. I mean, even drawing in elementary school, right, like, I'm just, like, I don't understand perspectives and, like, how to make things look a certain size within this, like, picture, and, like, damn, that's crazy how you could just, like, look at it from any angle,
mm-hmm.
and then just draw it. And you can probably do it quickly now, right?
Yeah. Like yeah. that, yeah. I did like an 8-page storyboard yeah. It ended up being only a minute long. And it okay. was like 8 pages of storyboards with like 8 slides per, yeah. per page. Yeah. So it's like 64 slides basically for a fucking minute long video.
A minute
long. Yeah. And like, it was funny though, because yeah. like I showed my creative lead and then my other graphic designer I work with
yeah.
My storyboard. And like, I was yeah. explaining the whole thing, and there's this like 5 minutes of silence while I was like explaining it. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. Like, is this right? Like, am I doing this right? Like, you guys are too quiet. Like, I just need some feedback right now. Because like, I'm just like lost in my head. They're like, no, like, this is insane. Like, you're like, this is so detailed. Like, we're just like blown away by the fact that you just did this out of like half a day at work. Like,
you're like, yeah.
I was like, okay, good. Like, okay, I'm not crazy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yo, God, that's crazy that you like got that, you've mastered your craft to that degree.
Like to a degree. Like yeah. I think if I were to be more, specific
mm-hmm.
with like my direction when mm-hmm. I was younger, like, oh, I want to do traditional or like I want to do architecture or like buildings or like right. stuff like that. And like really focus and like get into the technical part of drawing, I could be a fine artist by now. But yeah. I think because like the passion to do that kind of stuff wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
and that's why I'm like into digital media now right. because like that was like, I love like being on a computer and like being in the Adobe process, like the software, like Illustrator and stuff, mm-hmm. and like creating things on the computer versus yeah. like traditional. But yeah. my hand and eye coordination, I think, is just like mastered level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. So you're like probably really good at like, God, I forgot what that name was. Whatever. That game, you know, where you draw things?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Probably fire at that.
Okay, yeah. Is it called Drawful? Is that what you're talking about? So. Yeah. My dad has that game on...
Your dad's an artist, too.
My dad's really good at art, but he's just naturally good at a lot of things, like I was telling you. But he just, like, never pursued it, because, like, he loves, like, electronics and computers and stuff like that, because.
And then that's where, I mean, not a bad thing to have a lot of options with, like, what you want to do, right? So,
but it's funny, because, like, me and my two sisters are both very artistic, all in our own ways. My youngest sister really loves painting. She just naturally like God-given gift of like painting and traditional art as well, but her style is so different from mine. And then my middle sister, she's like really good at screen printing and just like really fine lines. Almost like if she were to learn how to use Adobe Illustrator, she'd just like be fucking amazing at it.
She
loves screen printing, and like I think actually seeing the physical design on something like a canvas or a t-shirt and stuff like that. So.
Wow.
Just like, where the fuck did we get all this artistic talent from? Like, it's got to be from all the parents. My mom can barely draw a stick man, so.
Yeah, exactly. No, I always wonder that too. Because like my mom's side of the family is like really musical, and I'm just like, I never got that. The only like thing that I got is like the appreciation for music.
Gotcha, yeah.
From like my dad, and probably my mom doesn't really listen to that much music, but like her side of the family, like they would like sing in opera and shit and like played hella instruments and all that. Like it was like they're creative in that way. But then I don't know, I tried making music in high school, and then I was just like, I was definitely working really hard at it, but then I just did not like the way my voice sounded at all. So then I was just like, whatever. And then, but then I always knew I wanted to do something within music. So then I guess that carried over. I don't know if that's necessarily genetic or just that just happened because of like the way that I encountered music throughout my life. So
interesting.
I'm not too sure.
Actually, there's some sort of connection there. Definitely.
Some kind of reasoning. I'm gonna have to like think about that and like workshop it. Maybe having a voice diary. Actually, what I was gonna say is that this podcast is low key kind of like a voice diary.
It is, yeah.
In a way, except I share it with like a lot of people.
Yeah.
So then it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. Like this whole new age. This like whole like. Information economy, like this whole like self-branding like economy that we're in, it's a really interesting time to be in.
It is, definitely.
Like, don't you find when you make like social media posts that like, and then you just like talk to somebody that you don't really talk to for a long time, and then they like reference that thing, you're just like, wait, how'd you know that?
Yeah.
You're like, wait, oh, I shared that. Like that's where I'm just like, am I oversharing things? Because I'm kind of uncomfortable with, like, people coming up to me being like, yo, like, I know this. But at the same time, I'm just like, that's kind of cool.
It is.
It's kind of cool that, like, people enjoy the content, in quotation marks. It's weird that, like, I make content now. It's fucked. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it every step of the way.
Me too, yeah. And, like, part of our conversation earlier was about... like, yeah, the idea of oversharing and, like, how personal you want to get.
Yeah.
And I guess, obviously, that's where influencers come in, because they're, I mean, that's why, like, people, like, it's just, like, a fine line, 50-50. I feel like some people think influencers are just all bullshit, and they're just, like, you're just, like, wasting your youth, and you're just, like, putting yourself out there, and you're getting people, and then people are, like, judging you because you're putting everything out there, but then you're getting offended by it. But, you know, like, it's so true.
Yeah.
But, but then at the same time, I could never do that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and then that's another thing that we were talking about earlier, is that,
I think you'd honestly have, like, a fire YouTube channel, though.
That's the thing.
I'm pretty sure I've talked to you about this before as well, but I think you'd have... a fire YouTube channel.
If I could find my niche of like what I wanted to talk to you about, and like it could be about creativity or design or something like that, like as long as it's not cringy, then
You wouldn't do vlogs of like, hey, so
I can't do that. Like,
you wouldn't have like a DSLR with that like weird flexible tripod thing, and you're just like carrying it around.
I'm just too self-aware, and you know, like it's good because I am very self-aware, but I'm not shameless, man. Like I just can't do that. I feel bad for like if I'm sending a video Snapchat to someone, like I can't do it in public. Like I have to be in a room.
Low key, me too. Like honestly, I do post on my stories a lot, and sometimes I'm talking in the camera, but I feel very. I can't do that in public.
No,
I can't do that in public at all. I make sure that no one's around me, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna talk on this camera now. Like I feel like such a goof. Like I feel like such a goof. Like with this camera in my face, like at a certain angle. Like, hey guys, like. Like, what's good, YouTube? Like, I can't do that.
No, me neither.
Eventually, I'd love to start a YouTube channel as well.
Like, I actually, you know, there's another thing, too, is that, like, there was a one point in my life where I was just like, I cannot stand mm-hmm. influencers at all. Like, mm-hmm. I just think it's just complete bullshit. I'm just like, you're just all attention-seeking millennials, just, like, trying to make a dollar without actually doing work and stuff. But... Right. Like, I really appreciate influencers that have a purpose.
Yeah.
So, it's like, there are fashion bloggers out there, or, like, there's, like, fashion bloggers that have turned vloggers, or, like, people that are running companies and stuff, but, like, actual companies. Right. And, like, they have, like, their companies have a purpose as well, or they have their whole brand built up, and it's not bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, I do follow some, like, female fashion influencers, and I love them, and they're just so raw, and they... But they're not like cringy. Like they're not like, oh, like I feel ugly today, and like you guys can too. You know, like that kind of bullshit. Oh, God. Like I hate that.
Oh God. Like you know what? I have my off days. Not every day. It's like,
it's like, oh my goodness.
Like
there's a line.
You don't know what I'm going through, but I persevere and go to the gym. Anyways, you can do it too. So buy my program.
Buy
my 50. Buy my booty bands. That's the new hustle. Booty bands.
But you know what? You do you, boo. Like, if you're making money off that, and if you're not scamming people, that's another thing.
That's a big thing. That's a huge thing in the fitness industry. Yeah. And the scams.
They have that Brittany Dawn fitness thing. I don't know if you heard about that.
I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. Wait,
what happened?
It's so bad. She's, like, scamming everyone who's ever bought her program. It's all over the news.
I heard about that. Yeah. I heard about that. And then she, Oh, man.
Way to make that name... poison. Thank you, Brittany Dawn Fitness.
This is why I'm happy that like not a lot of people in the Western world have the name Naoto.
Yeah, you're lucky.
I can carve out a lane for myself. Although what's weird in Japan is that like my last name and first name are pretty common names.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah,
Wakabayashi is like a super, super common name. So then I'm just... But then here, people are like, oh, it's so sick. But then, back in Japan, people are like, yeah, you're just a Wakabayashi. Like, fuck out of here.
Just a common run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, fuck your last name. No, nobody actually says that.
Yeah.
But...
My last name's pretty interesting, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, even in, like, Germany...
Yeah.
Because, like, my last name is derived from German.
Yeah.
But there's, like, not a lot of Kopeches, to be honest. And, I'm just basing it off of, like, Facebook searching people. Uh-huh. But, like, I think only, like, 25 came up.
Shit?
Yeah.
Really?
Out of everyone on Facebook,
Do you find some, like, lost family members?
I don't know if they're related to me. So, I mean, like, with a circle that small, they probably are. But I've never reached out to them because, everything's in German.
Have you had any old people, like... DM you
on
like to be like yo. So actually, one time I had this like old lady DM me. Well, send me a private message on Facebook, and then it was in my other inbox for the longest time, and I had no idea. And I looked at it, and she's like, "Good evening," like whatever. She's like, "I had a friend named Brenda Wakabayashi, Wakabayashi. Like, are you related to her?" And it was like in a paragraph, and I'm like. What the fuck? And she was like, yeah, could you let her know that we need to catch up and then and for her to get back to me? And I'm like,
it's like, why is that your concern?
Like, yo, like what the, like what? okay, like, damn, people use Facebook for, like, that purpose. Like, old people are wild, like, how they took over Facebook and, like, claimed it as theirs, even though it was, like,
oh,
a cool thing.
Oh, yeah, no, like, they, like, old people took over.
Oh, no, like, it's only a matter of time when old people are gonna be on Instagram.
They already are.
They already are.
Like, a lot of parents and grandparents now have Instagram.
Yeah, I'm, like...
And honestly, it kind of weirds me out because, like, yeah. now you think about, like, now our grandparents and parents are being exposed to all these, like, booty popping Instagram influences. Yeah. You're just like, what do they think of our generation? Like, that's probably why there's just so much, like weird thoughts about, like, millennials.
Yeah,
and, like,
100%.
How they're, like, entrepreneurs and stuff. It's because, like, the older generation are looking down and be like, oh, my God, like, this girl is just, like, making money off her booty online. Yeah. Like, when, like, and doing okay. Like, she's probably making bank.
She's doing well for herself.
But that's just, like, our new, that's just, like, our new, like, that's just the society we live in now, you know?
It's part of the ecosystem and the economy now, like, which is kind of, that's really insane to think about. Like, thinking about, like, traditional jobs. And then now being an influencer, now, like, being a vlogger or, like, even a blogger and having sponsors in that realm, like, how that's, I wouldn't say it's normal, but, like, how that's, like, way more possible. And it's just, like, this weird, like, newly emerged, like, niche career that you could have, which is insane. But you know what? I want to be an influencer. So follow my Twitter, guys.
Shameless name drop. No,
exactly.
What was I gonna say? Well, I mean, like, it is possible to just, like just bounce off on YouTube, you know? Because, like, if one video goes viral on YouTube, like, you could be cashing in, like, $1,000 a month.
Oh,
just, like, because I think, like, once you hit over 1 million views on a video, you're getting, like, pretty decent cash out every single month.
Yeah, yeah. You are. But do you know what YouTube did recently?
What?
I think they changed payout. No, this happened last year. So they actually changed payout rules where you have to be averaging a certain amount of viewers per month in order to even get that check for monetization.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous.
That is.
Like, that's, like, what? Like, why can't, what the hell? Like, advertisers are eating off of these people's viewerships that may be fluctuating, but I just don't understand why that matters. Like, that's crazy to me.
It's,
like,
very deterring.
Yeah. I wonder, it's going to be interesting to see where the industry goes with all of that, because I think it's going to definitely move in a direction of, like, trying to essentially make money on these, like, free platforms. But then the creators are going to want a bigger piece, which I think they totally deserve.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they're already underpaid already. So once, like, more money goes in, I could also see them getting jerked as well. So,
yeah.
Man, yo. Do you want to wrap this up?
I think we should. Like, it's been cool. Over an hour.
Hour and 12.
Wow.
God damn.
It's a good conversation.
Well, yeah. No, thank you so much for being on.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd love to have you as a guest again. Like, maybe, yeah. No, we can talk about that if you're down.
No, I'm so down. Lit? This is great. Yeah, definitely.
Lit. All right. Do you want to give the people your socials? And
yeah,
all
for
that?
Sure. Yeah. So my Instagram is b.tsch. Yes, that you. If you say it out loud, it says bitch, but it's like my first and last name kind of
Wait,
smashed
what?
Together. You never realized that.
Never realized.
Yeah,
that.
It's so clever. Okay, I thought of it one day when I was, like, really baked, and I was like, damn, that's so catchy. And it's, like, what, 6 characters long?
6 characters.
Yeah. B.tsch. Like, it's so easy to remember.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I was like, I was every time I'd see your username, I'm like, I wonder what that means.
Yeah, it's wow. It's Brittany dot and then Brittany dot Kopech, but it's slashed together.
With it. Yeah.
And then if you guys want to go check out my artwork, I have an Instagram design account called How to Cope.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I also think that's an extremely clever name because my last name is Kopech. How to Cope.
Spelled K-O-P-E, right?
K-O-P-E, yeah. How to K-O-P-E.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, check it out, guys.
Check her out on those platforms. Like, yeah, no, again, this has been episode 11. You already know where to find me. Putting all my socials down below. the thing. God, I feel like trash saying that.
Like and subscribe.
And like and subscribe. And press the notification bell on the top right corner. No, top left corner.
There you go. You can tell we're not on the YouTube platform.
Yo, we're already developing a YouTube channel, so Yeah, no, okay, so I'm going to include all of our socials down below as well. So it's been episode 11 of the Fill in the Blank Interlude Podcast with your host, Naoto Wakabayashi, and with my wonderful host,
Brittany.
All right, peace.